Size matters not. Look at me. Judge me by my size, do you? And where you should not. For my ally is the Force. And a powerful ally it is. Life leads it. Makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us. And binds us. Luminous beings shall we. Not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the fleet, everywhere. Yes.
Good evening. Welcome to Boulder Public Library. My name is Anne Lecker. I would like to thank the Boulder Public Library Foundation for making this event possible.
And I'd like to thank the hosts of
the Storm for letting me convince them to come to Boulder in the snowy November evening. I was first introduced to the Storm when they were Storm of
Spoilers,
a Game of Thrones podcast, and they quickly became the favorite part of my commute. And I love them so much that when this summer they announced, we have to go back to the island lost, I followed them. But they're not here tonight to discuss Game of Thrones
or Lost. They're here tonight to discuss Star Wars. And whether you're a longtime fan like me or a first-time listener, you're in for a treat.
Please join me in silencing your phones and giving a round of applause as I welcome to the stage Neil Miller, Joanna Robinson, and Dave Gonzalez.
Hello and welcome to The Storm, a Star Wars special. We are here to talk about the Star Wars original trilogy. This evening in Boulder, Colorado at the Canyon Theater, we have this split into a couple different sections. But first, let's say hello to everybody. Hi, Joanna. Welcome to Boulder.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for welcoming me to Boulder.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And hi, Neil.
Hi, Dave.
You ready to talk about some Star Wars?
Yes.
All right, so I feel like it's weird for me to introduce this first segment myself, so I'm going to throw to Joanna, who wants some control over my life.
Dave is refusing to let me have any. All right, so our first segment, if you've listened to our podcast, you know that Dave is our lore master on most things. And one thing that he really excels at is going long. So we thought we'd try to make him go short. So we're having Dave.
Oop. I went one too far.
Dave explains Star Wars with a time limit.
It's the only way we're going to get out of here at any reasonable hour.
He was not given this time limit before the show, so this will be a surprise to him. But he did brag to me earlier. We're actually going to do this twice. He bragged to me earlier that he could explain the whole trilogy in 10 seconds. So Neil and I have decided to take him up on that.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to see this. Although we never really discussed what level of detail he has to get to.
Yep, so we'll see.
So we'll see what he comes up with here.
Yeah, with Star Wars and the original trilogy in 10 seconds.
Farm boy redeems his father through space magic.
Yeah, pretty much.
No need to watch those three movies ever again. I figured it out.
All right. Now we're going to ask you to do it in a minute.
Okay. In a minute. Farm boy Luke Skywalker from Tatooine gets pulled into a galactic conflict with the Empire, blows up the Death Star, brings the revenge of the Empire down on him when it turns out the big bad guy is actually his father.
What?
The entire time.
What?
Whoa, spoilers.
So he takes up this old ancient religion. I was going to say anti-religion, but it's an ancient religion. Becomes a Jedi, which he needs to be to conquer his father and pull him back from the dark side and bring down the Galactic Empire while he's actually doing it. That gives me some extra time, right?
Oh. Yeah, you're only like 28 seconds.
Yeah.
The best thing about...
Are there any women in these films?
There is. He has a secret sister who's actually a princess of a doomed planet that gets blown up in the first one, which is like sort of an off-screen genocide, but not as bad as Tron Legacy, which has an off-screen genocide. That was a minute, right?
No, you got like...
You still have 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
And there are Ewoks, which are teddy bears that take down the Empire.
All right. And that that is Dave Gonzalez Explains Star Wars in 10 seconds and a minute.
Thank you. Thank you. Very basic. But I think that covers all the important things that we're otherwise going to be talking about today. Our next one is a little bit participatory.
So you guys are comfortable, right? You're not going to stay comfortable, maybe. yeah.
This one's called, I don't know what it's called. There we go.
Yep.
Real Star Wars name or not.
So we have 5 rounds, and each round has 3 names. Each group of 3 names has 1 name that is an actual Star Wars in-canon name. 1 name that is a Star Wars name that is no longer canon. It's an expanded universe that's gone.
This is so hard.
And 1 name I've completely made up.
We did not know there was going to be...
There are levels. So we would like one of you to be our first experiment person in picking Star Wars names.
Oh, Paul.
Got someone down here?
Hi.
Hi. All right, Paul, you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you the obviously ridiculous ones. All right. We have Shaggy, Glip Scoot. Oh, Glip Scoot. See, this is another thing. Some of these are only read first. Glip Scoot and Droopy McCool.
I think you need to spell Shaggy for him.
S-H-A apostrophe A space G-I.
Oh, well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Shaggy.
So Shaggy's the first one.
Shaggy.
Droopy's the last one.
Droopy McCool and Glip Scoot. Do you know which one's the fake one?
Is it Shaggy?
Shaggy, unfortunately, is real. He is a real non-canon Jedi who is in the Clone Wars 2D animated shorts.
That's why.
That he's tall, he has a green lightsaber, he's got a little bit of shag. He's definitely modeled after Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, so they just named him that.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like a wasn't me situation.
No. Okay. It's a Scooby-Doo Shaggy.
Great.
All right, so we have Glip Scoot and Droopy McCool. Which one of those is the canon Star Wars name, and which is the one I made up?
I think Droopy McCool. How's McCool spelled, first of all?
McCool, M-C-C-O-O-L.
Oh, okay. So, principles of deduction. You made up Droopy McCool.
Droopy McCool is a canon Star Wars name. That big puppy dog that plays the flute in Return of the Jedi?
Oh, yeah.
He is Droopy McCool. I made up Glip Scoot, so this is going great for me.
Yeah, you know. Dave was like, don't make me do this. Don't make me come up with, like, believable fake Star Wars names. I was like, I think you can do it.
Yeah, now I have to pronounce also, like, names in made-up languages, which is going to be great.
Could you use it as...
Who wants to go next?
Droopy McCool plays the best jizz.
That's a Star Wars thing. Right there.
Sure.
Okay, hi. Here we go. All right, we're going to give you the ones that I'm not sure if I can pronounce all of them. So here we go. This one's spelled U-R-O-R-R-U-R apostrophe R apostrophe R. So I'm going to say it's called...
Wait, what?
Name number one. Name number two, Vandar Tokare. And name number three... Rektan Jorvan. That first name is spelled R-H-E-K apostrophe T-A-N. So we have...
And Jorvan like you would expect Jorvan.
Like Jorvan. Jorvan like the Christian name.
Yeah.
So we have Vandar Tokari and Rektan Jorvan. Do you have... Can you guess the one I made up?
I'm going to guess you made up Rektan.
That is correct. Was it the Jorvan? It was the Jorvan.
Yeah.
All right, do you have a guess on whether Vandar, Tokare, or Rarrrrrrrr managed to survive in canon?
I'm
going to
guess Rarrrrrrrr is canon.
That is correct.
Wow.
Rawr is the Tusken Raider that knocks down Luke.
Oh, you named for how you sound.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. Let's go next. Right over there.
All right, here we go. We got Han Solo coming up. I'm going to give you the Imperials. Here we go. Imperial Captain Supervisor Grammel, Lieutenant Commander Sykes, and Sim Alu. The last name is A-L-O-O. Imperial Captain Supervisor Grammel, Lieutenant Commander Sykes, Sim Alu. Do you know which one I made up?
Sykes.
That is correct.
Sykes.
Wow.
And of Imperial Captain Supervisor Grammel and Sim Alu, which one is still in canon? That is correct. Is the Emperor's advisor on the Death Star 2.
So maybe you're not so good at this, Dave.
I mean, I started strong.
All right, who wants to go next?
Two more rounds.
All right, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Ooh, nice shirt.
These are for these are all support characters. They either support the Empire, the Rebellion, or the third, like, bounty hunter group. Here we go. We have Mart Matten, Wax Protean, and Gurry, one name. I can spell any of those if you would like me to. Wax Protean, Mart Matten, Gurry. Do you have one I made up?
Is it Wax Protean?
Wax Protean is the one I made up. I'm not good at making up Star Wars names.
This, I swear I thought this was going to go a different way.
Well, because I tested some on these guys, and they were all like, yeah, that sounds Star Warsy enough, but yeah, all right. All right, so, of the remainder, we have Mart Matten and Gurry. Which one remains canon? That is correct. He is a pilot in Star Wars Rebels that is named after Matt Martin, who works for Lucasfilm.
Oh, love it. You love to see it.
A little extra bonus podcast.
All right, who's the last person to make Dave feel like he failed at this? Just kidding.
All right, here we go, down in front. Figrin Dan. That's D apostrophe A-N.
Please be real. Please be real.
Jan Ors. O-R-S. And Elith Botts, E-L apostrophe Y-E-T-H.
Third one you made up.
That is correct. Fingrin D'An is the first one, and Jan Ors is the second one.
First one's canon.
That is correct. Fingrin D'An is the lead band leader of Fingrin D'An and the Model Nodes, who play do 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 in the
case. Obviously.
There, oh, this is a different spelling than I've seen on.
D'An.
Yeah.
Oh,
the apostrophe throws me off.
Hiding out during the long winter months means a whole lot of downtime at home. And if you're a cat owner, like me, you might be apprehensive about being within no shot of a litter box for hours on end, especially when it's due for a refresh. Thanks to Pretty Litter, I have odorless litter delivered right to my door.
Pretty Litter is kitty litter reinvented. Unlike traditional litter, Pretty Litter's super light crystals trap odor and release moisture, resulting in dry, low-maintenance litter that doesn't smell. And Pretty Litter is virtually dust-free because it's manufactured with a specialized de-dusting process. Less dust and no fuss. Pretty Litter also spares my sanity and storage space. It's shipped in a small, lightweight bag that lasts an entire month. No more bulky containers or frequent trips to the store.
But above all else, here's why Pretty Litter is a pet parent's hero. It's a health indicator. Pretty Litter monitors my cat's health by changing colors when it detects potential underlying issues. You won't find that kind of innovation in conventional litter.
You can't change the weather, but you can change your kitty litter. Make the switch, like Joanna did today. Go to prettylitter.com and use promo code STORM for 20% off your first order. That's prettylitter.com. Promo code STORM.
All right, we got one more game of Dave brings the opening energy.
I feel so much more confident now.
This time we're the ones, Neil and I are the ones who are probably going to be humiliated.
All right, here we go. Fire the ventral cannon. These guys need to figure out which of, I'm going to tell a tiny Star Wars story. They need to tell me if that's still happened in the canonical Star Wars universe.
Or did Disney kill it?
They already did Disney Killer. These all happened during the original trilogy. So if you listen to our podcast, we're going to do prequel trilogies and a Reylo trilogy episode. All these things will carry over. The names are going to be funner than the prequel ones to get crazy. But here we go. Is this canon? Do you guys want to do it together or separately?
Together.
Okay.
Together.
I mean, I'm feeling pretty good after that last game.
Okay, good. Here we go. The first person ever to see the holo transmission Princess Leia left on R2-D2 in A New Hope was not Luke or Obi-Wan Kenobi, but a being called Jot who hacked it out of R2-D2 but chose not to steal or delete it.
A virtuous hacker.
A virtuous hacker.
Yeah.
Who goes against R2-D2's long-standing history of withholding information.
Withholding information.
Named Jot.
Jot.
Yeah.
I feel like this is something that was canon, but is no longer.
Yeah, because we want that moment for Luke to be like, who's that hot babe?
Yeah.
To be, like, really important, right?
Right.
It's your sister. All right. Yeah, we say Disney killed this.
Unfortunately, Disney did not kill this. Jot is a Jawa in the Sandcrawler whose job it is to wipe everybody's memories, you know, because if you're selling droids, you don't want one to accidentally have, like, say, Death Star plans on it.
Mm.
So, but he's taken by Princess Leia's beauty, and although he does not understand basic, he decides to let the droid go.
Now I want to spin off with the hacker.
Yeah.
Jawa.
Yeah. Well, since we're in a library, this short story is actually in the book A Certain Point of View, which is a collection of short stories that take place in the Star Wars universe that are also canon.
Wow.
Yeah, here we go. I'm plugging libraries. So
Luke,
libraries.
You thought you were so special. Sloppy Jawa seconds. All right.
All right. Number two. Luke and Leia are investigating a mining town for the rebellion. They enter unnoticed, steal some mining clothes, and change into them. They enter a cantina, and when an Imperial suspects and investigates them, Luke hits Leia, claiming he's his servant girl. She's his servant girl.
Oh, like a backhand?
Like a quiet servant girl.
They better kill this one.
I'm going to defer to Neil on this one.
Yeah.
We say
it should be dead.
Luke hitting Leia should be dead.
That is actually correct. That's from the book Splinter of Mind's Eye, which is not canon. It was originally going to be the sequel to Star Wars, and then they wrote Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, well, good call.
Yeah. They didn't dodge Slave Leia completely, though.
No. Leia finds a way. It's true.
All right, here we go. This one is super vague unless you know where it's coming from. So good luck, guys. Here we go. After the Battle of Yavin, Mon Mothma assigns another Rebel Alliance grunt to investigate the mysterious mining plans of Moff Rebus and General Ram Mach, which reveals a new type of trooper the Empire is working on to turn the tides back against the Rebellion.
A new type of trooper.
I mean, I feel like this is the kind of thing they wouldn't kill, because that sounds like a new toy to me, bud.
Yeah, ooh. Yes and Neil again.
You're right on the marketing, but I just described the plot of the video game Dark Forces.
Oh, of course you did.
Which unfortunately came out in the mid-90s.
Yeah. Oh. It's a huge Dark Forces head back.
Yeah, there you go.
Obviously.
I'm feeling much better about the second segment where you guys can't beat me.
Yeah, just always pitch to us. Make you feel better.
All right, final one before we move on and actually talk about the movies. During the events of the original trilogy, Chewbacca has a son named Lumperoo and a wife named Mala who live on Kashyyyk, his homeworld.
So it's a holiday special.
It's a holiday special.
Is the holiday special still canon? That's
no,
the question.
It was never canon. George Lucas wanted to strangle it immediately. Like, immediately. I think it's...
But what about Solo?
The Life Day thing is throwing me off.
Yeah, Life Day is in Mandalorian, and remember how Solo had, like, all those Wookiees?
Right. I feel like they kept it. Lumpy deserves to live on.
Hashtag Lumpy lives.
Hashtag Lumpy lives. You guys ready? No. Joanna still has her thinking face on.
What that face is?
Yeah, I think it's still
Lumpy lives.
Lumpy lives, yeah.
Guys, Lumpy lives.
Yes.
Both characters are recanonized in the book by Chuck Wendig, Aftermath Light Debt, where they go rescue Kashyyyk and free it from Empire rule after Return of the Jedi. But
I'd love to see it.
The Chewbacca. It's okay. This is one of those things about Star Wars, and I've kind of talked about it before, and maybe this is our way into talking about the actual movies. This is nice, because we get our canon back, and we get, you know, Chewbacca as a son, and it's like, everybody who's like, the holiday special, I remember that. This hits my nostalgia button, but it does make Chewbacca kind of a dick father.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the galaxy.
Yeah.
We have bad dads here.
It is a bad dad galaxy.
You're saying, yeah, because that means that Chewie then goes on adventures and never goes home. It's sort of like a Davos Seaworth situation.
Correct. And it's
right.
That's one of the problems that I had with Solo when it came out, is it shows the Han and Chewie life debt situation, which is like a big thing. Chewbacca has a life debt to Han Solo, which means they have to be like partners. They're like this. That's supposed to be the cultural thing that makes it okay for him to leave his family enslaved on his home planet. But when you see it, it's just he gets them out of a mud pit.
I was sitting next to you when we were watching the premiere
of that premiere.
And like he goes into the mud and Dave just starts going like, no, 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 no.
I was much quieter than that.
I had no idea why he was mad. He's just like, whoa, whoa. So, yeah.
But that being said, I wanted to kick off this conversation about the original trilogy of movies by a personal confession, which I've watched them a lot. But this year was the year that the much-reviled special editions actually made sense to me. And let me explain why.
Rutabaga, rutabaga.
So, if you look at when they first came out, it was sort of George Lucas not only restoring the original Star Wars trilogy to be back into theaters, but he thought he would fix some things. And when it came out, everybody was sad because he, you know, messed with some childhood and added some CG Jabba, and that scene itself being in the movie makes the Greedo scene redundant. And then, of course, he changed the Greedo scene so that Han did not shoot first, and kicked up all this dust of Star Wars debate and fandom. And I was definitely one of those people who was like, why mess with something? But then rewatching it now, I was especially struck by the trench run scene in the original Star Wars, because the original way that it was shot was George Lucas took all of his favorite World War II dogfight scenes and cut them together and showed them to the ILM people and to the animators as sort of like an animatic, to be like, this is what I want my X-Wing pilot scene to look like. Which would be great, except if you're trying to show that to a child that was born in 2010, let's say, and they're just getting, you know, ready for their first Star Wars, they're not going to even know that reference. That's not what a dogfight looks to them. What a dogfight looks like to them is the floating, non-real camera that we have with the, you know, era of CGI. So when it's Lucas doing it himself, it sort of reads like, this guy's going back and fixing his own movie, and does he have the right to do that? Doesn't this belong to everybody? But now that Disney owns this entire IP machine, I see the reason to provide continuity throughout all 9 films. Isn't it going to be interesting to somebody who could sit down and watch the entire Star Wars saga in continuity?
Maybe.
But,
well, what I would say is, like, can George Lucas tinker with his film till the end of time? As far as I'm concerned, yes. Do whatever you want. You can make that, like, terrible cantina song situation at Jabba's Palace. Like, all the music that's bad, the Jabba that's bad, all the bad CGI. You can do all that. But don't vault the originals so that we can't find them. That's what I think. So it's like, yes, it's fine to tinker and upgrade in a way that you think is better. And like, George cares a lot about... I just said George, and it made me feel like Game of Thrones. I'll just say, George Lucas cares a lot about, you know, technological advances and keeping up with them. But, you know, to then make the older versions impossible to find. Like, I don't usually agree with the you kill my childhood thing, because when you talk about, like say, female Ghostbusters, right? And the bad fans around female Ghostbusters.
You mean
like,
the only Ghostbusters that have ever existed?
Are like, you ruined...
That one Paul Feig movie?
You ruined my childhood. You ruined my... This movie is so important to me. And I was like, you still have it, bud. Nobody took it from you. It's still there. But the problem is George Lucas took those movies from a lot of us if we don't, like, didn't hang on to our VCR player or go on the dark web to, like, find it, you know what I mean? And so that's my main ish with the specialized editions.
Yeah, I think that, well, and the other thing that is interesting is that it seemed, and I spent a lot of time with the commentary tracks from this trilogy in the last couple of weeks, George has a lot of regrets.
Yes.
And that's okay.
You're
allowed to have regrets.
Yeah.
You're allowed to want to go back and... But I think that there is an important historical context for those original despecialized versions, because it's interesting to me to see what Star Wars was when it came out in theaters. And that's the version of the movie that made all the money. That's the version of the movie that propelled this franchise to what it is now. It was made kind of, you know, on the cheap relative to other big movies that we see now. So I think it's like, why wouldn't you want to have that out there? It's dirty and it's a little weirder and it's the landscapes aren't as drawn out, I guess, but you know, it's a really it's a beautiful sort of time capsule of innovation of like what they were doing in the late 70s.
Yeah, and the irony of that is that George Lucas cares so much about film preservation and he just like tanked his own older versions of things. And I think I agree. Like, you watch the original trilogy and some of the stuff that hasn't been tinkered with, or if you find like the original version, you're like, man, those models actually looked really good, like zooming over the camera like that. Like, you maybe don't need CG for everything. So yeah, I think we're right and you're wrong.
Okay, yeah. That's I guess a fair way to end that topic. But it has been interesting to me going back and seeing especially how little has changed in like Empire, and then they like make Cloud City look a little bit cooler, but Cloud City basically looked cool in the first place. And then only when he's on Tatooine in the special editions does he really feel like he has to mess with stuff. Like Jabba's palace has a whole bunch of extra stuff that he doesn't need to have. Obviously Jabba's in Mos Eisley. There's a whole Mos Eisley section that I'm convinced is as long because they were also developing the Shadows of the Empire video game. You got to go through Mos Eisley and they shared assets because like at a base level, it's just how many polygons you put in to make it film level versus N64. But the building shapes are the same.
Let me guess, the N64 is slightly lower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, fewer polygons on the N64.
I'm drinking for polygons.
You're drinking for polygons?
This is water.
But now we're living in a world where the Mandalorian is like shooting with an actual video game backdrop for it. So it's been interesting to see how asset sharing has continued since Shadows of the Empire. I don't know. There's a lot of good ideas in the special edition. I'm just not sure. I think you guys are probably right in terms of a film history standpoint.
I say if you grew up with the specialized versions and like that version of Jabba or that closing song, which is not Yub Nub, which really bothers me, is integral to maybe your childhood, then like, you know, given that all the original trilogy is now on Disney Plus and that's how a lot of people are going to be watching them going forward, I think it'd be really cool if you had multiple versions available on there.
Would it be like an option or would it be a whole other thing?
Like an option.
Okay.
Like you click on Return of the Jedi, it's like, do you want to watch that stupid musical number in Jabba's palace?
It's called Jedi Rocks.
Or do you want to spare yourself? Do you want Gungans at the end of Return of the Jedi or just Ewoks? Oh, just Ewoks, please.
How like much that. Hayden Christensen would you like? Please use this slider.
Oh, is it zero? Okay. Like, you know, so.
Fair enough. But we do have to talk about the newest addition to Star Wars. So there was a 3D version of The Phantom Menace released in theaters, and it looked like they were going to do all of them, but it turns out Phantom Menace didn't do well enough to get a re-release, but it turns out we learned this, or Phantom Menace didn't do well enough to get Attack of the Clones out there.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's almost like it wasn't that great.
This was 2011?
Yeah.
So 2011, people are like, Star Wars.
But by that point, they'd already started restoring the original trilogy to do a 3D release. If the money was there, there wasn't. But that doesn't mean we're blessed with Dolby Sound and 4K editions on Disney Plus. And, as we learned, a new edit of the Greedo scene where he says McClunky right before he's shot. And it is not subtitled. And I feel like that also just helped me tip the scales because McClunky's just George Lucas, like, he's like, I'm going to sell this. You deal with it. Right?
McClunky's the ultimate MacGuffin.
Exactly.
Like, in life, we're never going to be able to figure out what McClunky meant.
So eventually, George Lucas is going to be like, you know, these clouds or, like, whatever.
It's an ancient Rhodian phrase that means, may the force not be with you.
Yeah.
You will bring me a Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, I'm going to stop ragging on the special editions, but I'm going to bring it back a little bit more.
Okay, wait. Like, maybe show applause in the audience. Clap your hands and be brave if you prefer the special editions with the extra CG. So clap your hands if you prefer the special editions.
There we go. All right. There we go.
Hi, brave people. You're friends. There you go.
See?
For the podcast record, people clap.
Clap your hands if you prefer the non-tinkered with version. We've got some people who are agnostic. That's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's like people who enjoy the prequels. I'm like, if you get it, that's great. And you do you.
Every time I rewatch the prequels, I try to like them. So I'm going to really try this time.
We're going to see how it goes.
This trilogy was easy. I was like, oh, this is all good.
Oh, yeah.
Love this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I just have, like, every time I rewatch it, there's another weird question that sticks in my head, which, like, in this one, this rewatch, one of the things that stuck in my head is, like, should I feel worse about all the droids? Because, okay, two things that make me think about this. Number one,
yeah.
3PO, when he's about taking order, Bass says, thank the Maker.
Yeah.
Which, in a non Judeo-Christian world in a galaxy far, far away that has no singular god, seems really weird thing to say.
I think it means Anakin.
He doesn't remember Anakin.
But, like, maybe deep in his joints he does.
Okay. Still weird to program a robot with some sort of reverence for who created it. It seems like a super making yourself god. Second, in Return of the Jedi, the gonk droid's getting tortured in Jabba's palace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the one that can feel pain.
It's screaming no, and it's lowering some
that
things down
weird.
His feet.
Yeah.
Why make droids feel pain?
See, I always, as a kid, it took a long time for me to register that was a droid. I always assumed it was just like an Ewok that somebody had put a trash can over.
No.
And he just couldn't get out, so they're like, well,
he's like,
it's like, I don't know, man. We'll just have to torture him in this.
They're just stuck in that trash can.
Yeah.
That's how you rationalize it?
Why would a robot feel pain?
If it was programmed to?
I mean, but like, why though?
Why? I'm just saying.
Curse the Maker, you know?
It's the same thing with having the Falcon have a consciousness inside of it. Once you start thinking about robo-rights in Star Wars, you're opening up the same thing with, like, why did Chewbacca leave his family in a slavery planet?
So I don't, like, if you guys haven't heard Dave talk about this, you know how there was a droid in Solo, voiced by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who was like Lando's girlfriend. Friend.
Friend was, from work.
Yeah. Work friend. They would like share yogurts in the fridge.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. They had a certain banter,
right?
For sure.
And by the end of the film, we've put her into the Millennium Falcon. She is the Millennium Falcon.
The Millennium Falcon's very famous, eventually, navigational system.
Right.
Which this is that's the whole thing about Star Wars. It's all about navigating around things. It's not about straight lines. So she navigates around stuff really fast.
So she's great. But she's Lando's girlfriend, and now she's in the Falcon, and then Han steals the Falcon from Lando. And so the way that Dave likes to think about it is that Han stole Lando's girlfriend. And once you think about it that way, every time you hear Han talk about, like, the Falcon, he's like, that's my girl, or like, what does he say?
I made some special modifications myself, or he and me hold together.
Yeah. And you're just like, that's Lando's girlfriend you're talking about there. And then when Lando betrays him, I'm like, you're doing right. You betrayed him.
Jumped up and stole your girl.
Yeah.
That's why the Falcon's a genius, is because in Empire, it starts killing the hyperdrive, so they have to go to the Anoad system where it knows Lando is.
Are you saying the Falcon took them to Lando?
And what happens in Return of the Jedi? Lando pilots the Falcon against Death Star 2.
As it should be.
L3 gets her revenge eventually.
Yeah, and her man. So we appreciate a woman
it's still
who can
weird,
do both.
Because it was... Han didn't show up and, like, charm his way into stealing Lando's girl.
Well, it was a
card game?
Yeah, a card game that he cheated at, and then just, like, because he cheated him in the same way. It's another example of, like, I understand why you want to make this movie, but, like, by adding, like, a little bit. And then also the L3 was a character that wasn't that, like, would literally say things like robot rights. And then they just stuck her in the
Now you're a ship forever, working for Han. But Lando gets to fly the Falcon in this next movie.
That's true.
As we've learned from trailers. That's not a spoiler. It's a trailer thing. So that's the romantic reunion we've all been waiting for.
That is. There's a bright star.
I have a follow-up question, even though this is not supposed to be a podcast about the film Solo. Do you feel like when Han won that game of Sabacc, he also won all the capes in Lando's closet? Like, do the capes come with the ship? Or did he give Lando the opportunity to clear out his cape closet?
That would have been awkward.
Before he took the ship.
I feel like he's going to give him an opportunity to clear out the cape closet because Han wants to be the guy that does this as he's walking down doing the sad walk down the ramp holding all his capes. He really wants to twist the knife when he takes his girlfriendship.
Wow. It's like that sad, like, you've been fired and you get, like, a box and your one little plant and your pictures are in it.
I mean, that's the guy you shot
it was just
first.
Capes.
So maybe that's what happened, is they took Han Solo. He was a rogue that, you know, was occasionally had a conscience. They softened him up. And then they came around to Solo, where I'm like, oh no, I forgot he was kind of a dick. And then, but he always was. Han shot first.
Well, there you go.
There
so
you go.
Han's bad, and you should feel bad if you like him.
Good. All right. Sorry, man. Okay. Second big brain Star Wars question. Does each trilogy actually represent America at war at the time it was released, Neil?
What kind of ridiculous question is that?
He warned us twice today that he was going to ask that question.
He did?
Yes.
Wow. All right, so yeah, Vietnam was the first one, and then the second trilogy was late 90s, so that would have been...
The shadow narrative I always saw is Palpatine creates a fake war like George W. Bush creates a fake war.
Mm-hmm.
But
there were so many trade negotiations, it's really hard to know what was going on.
Right.
Well, let's focus on OT,
the original trilogy. The interesting thing about it is if it is reflective of the war of the time, we're the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
How specifically do you feel like it reflects that particular era of American warmongering?
I think Return of the Jedi.
I'm sorry, or however you want to phrase it.
I think it came off as it could be, you know, just a space opera story, and obviously the war was, like, somewhat on his mind. But when Return of the Jedi, when we, like, the stormtroopers go to a forest planet where the locals, like, just manage to ambush them on their own terrain and drive them off, kind of feels like super, we've always been the Empire.
That's dark.
Dark, but also probably a little true. I mean, you can tell that they had that on their mind. I think one of the things we had in our pre-show was the trailer for Empire Strikes Back, which, yes, that was Harrison Ford's voice.
Epic romance.
But they specifically have a piece in the original trailer about, like, fighting oppression across the galaxy. And it's like, that does seem to be part of what George Lucas was into at the time. I mean, I'm sure it was just like, you know, anything that's happening right now is going to be something that is in the back of our minds as we go forward and create things. But I also think that, you know, he wanted to make a samurai movie. He wanted to make a World War II movie. And so I think there's so many other influences. It's hard for me to say, like, yeah, it was really about Vietnam.
I think influenced by Vietnam, and especially, like, all the art that was coming out around that time that was about Vietnam. So it's just, like, in the artistic waters. But I think his fanboyism for World War II, as you mentioned earlier, we're definitely, like, the flyboys. You can tell just by the accents, right? Like, the bad guys have British accents and the good guys are American, right?
Yeah, I mean...
And so, like, I think if you ask George, he'd be like, no, we're the flyboys, we're the rebels, we're the, like,
and the Empire
scrappy
is,
princesses.
And the Empire is the Nazis from World War II.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think you could definitely do a 2019 read that we're the Empire, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're also... I'm going to be interested, first of all, to go back in the George W. Bush thing, but also to figure out how, like, this new trilogy comes along. We do our Raylo trilogy episode.
Oh, I don't want to talk about, like, the Trump-era Star Wars. That's what I don't want to do. This will be our first Trump presidency Star Wars, right?
Solo was
2017.
But, I mean, it's...
Jedi and Trump? Okay. Time has slowed and contracted.
Just like in the Star Wars
universe. Whoa. Where were you when you found out a parsec was a measure of distance?
Oh, probably in some sort of, like, bar trivia where I was horribly wrong. A lot of Star Wars knowledge I just got corrected on through the years, because when you're in a core group of, like, Star Wars fans, you get into like that echo chamber. Pre-internet times, you just had to find the people who were also checking out the book at the library, or like also playing the video game, or like had action figures. Like someone needed to throw up a signal before you were like, oh, Star Wars people. So you developed this whole like little inner circle of people that have the same Star Wars references. So you're looking at me like this is a foreign experience to you.
No, well, I mean, I wasn't like, I don't think
I wasn't trolling the library. Not that that's not, I mean, you know, if you have a nice library like this one.
We're very pro-library. If you're listening to this and you need more friends, I think you should go to the library. Right?
Yeah, no, I'm pro-library. I don't know.
No, when the second book of the Thrawn Thrawn trilogy is out and somebody else has it, yes.
Where were you when you found out that Parsec was a measure of distance and not time?
I don't know. I feel like it would have been like an SNL joke or something.
Yeah, about Parsecs?
Some sort of funny thing.
I like how into it now in canon to like, we really get the joke now.
It's in The Mandalorian. They've mentioned it like twice.
Yeah, they're like, you're the best in the Parsec.
Get it? It's distance. And you're like, but it has sec in it. Why? For me, it was a comment section of an article I wrote. You know, like, this happens a lot when you're writing on the internet. You're like, oh, I'm going to do a funny joke for the fans. Really going to wow them. And you put it in there, and then they're like, oh, that's wrong. And
you're like, that's wrong, and you should feel bad.
They're like, you basically feel like Steve Buscemi in that like "Hello, fellow kids" thing. You're like, why did I try? So that's what I got for trying to make a Parsec joke. Oh, actually, it's a measure of distance. So I think that was about 10 years ago that happened to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to transition to another segment after. We're going to riff it here. You have to rank the original trilogy movies, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just from opinion. No, everybody's friends here.
Mm-hmm. Neil. Are we going to do it together or just our own lists?
Oh, I think you should do it. You should do it, and then Joanne will do it, and then
okay.
I'll do it.
Just the three?
Just the three. Just the three original trilogy movies.
Well, number one is Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. Why?
Because it's the best one.
Okay.
I feel like that's pretty straightforward. It's also dark as hell.
Just, like, nailed that one.
Yeah.
You really nailed it.
Just because it's the best one. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That argument holds up.
You know, it really is. Those other two are just sort of okay. compared to Empire Strikes Back. Or like, you know, about the same.
See, I thought this would be a pretty uncontroversial segment, but apparently the other two are just okay.
I would go with A New Hope second and Jedi third.
Fair. Joanna, same, different.
Diana, do you disagree? Diana, how would you rank the original trilogy Star Wars? This is our producer, Diana.
This is not a planned bit. Feels like a trap.
Oh, it's definitely a trap. There we go. It's a trap.
It's a tarp.
All amazing. I loved them all when I was a kid. My favorite is Return of the Jedi.
Tell them why.
This feels like a trap. Yeah.
So when I was a kid, my mom was not a big proponent of TV, but we had a box of VHS tapes in the house that we could watch. So I saw nothing except like 25 movies that I would like the back of my hand. In the box was A New Hope and Empire. Great movies, love them, but we didn't have Return of the Jedi. So every time we got to see it, it was like, wow, you guys have the last one. Jedi, but, like, for reasons that aren't fair.
Jedi for personal stories.
That's how it happens sometimes.
If you ever talk to Diana, and you should, there's just, like, huge, cavernous gulfs of, like, empty, like, 80s and 90s, like, and aughts knowledge. She's like, don't know, didn't see it, don't know, didn't see it, don't know, didn't see it. And then you're like, Waterworld, and she's like, let me tell you about Waterworld. Let me tell you about literally everything that's ever happened in Waterworld. And you go, oh, it's in the box. Okay. all right. So I pick Empire number one because why?
It's the best one.
It's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
I pick Return of the Jedi number two for similar reasons. I grew up in Northern California. So like all the ferns and the redwoods like make me feel like I'm home. And then A New Hope is a strong third, but it's a, you know, they're all great. So that's where I am. How about you, Dave?
I'm gonna do Empire first. It's the best.
That's right.
And but then A New Hope, which actually flits back and forth with Empire because it is the core of what I recognize as Star Wars. Even something like The Mandalorian, that's so far away from it, is taking place on desert planets that look like Tatooine, that aren't Tatooine, that look like Tatooine, just to give you like that feeling. And so, like, man, when that like medal awards ceremony happens and like the full score kicks in, you hit the credits and you realize the movie's over, but you've just been watching action scene after action scene. It's kind of better than everybody looks at maybe getting Han back.
But like, it's a cliffhanger in Empire. You're like, what's gonna happen? Is Harrison Ford dead? He's not. They're like, don't worry. There's a line in Empire where they're like, oh, we read his vitals. Don't worry, he's fine. We don't have to pretend Harrison Ford isn't in the third movie and hide him.
Because if
say he cut his hair,
if it was made today, they absolutely would
be absolutely. Like,
what happened to Han?
No.
For 10 months.
That's it. He's gone. He's gone forever now.
Harrison Ford's like, I'm doing new projects anyway. Neil, I heard that you were looking up some Star Wars trivia today.
Yeah. Do you guys want to hear some trivia about sound effects?
I do.
Do you know what the first sound effect that Ben Burtt, legendary sound designer Ben Burtt, who also did the movie WALL-E, which is one of my favorite Ben Burtt things, the first sound effect he ever did was the lightsabers.
Mm.
And the lightsabers are based on two things. An old CRT television tube, if you're old enough to remember what TVs look like when they were super thick. and this...
Oh, like turning on?
Yeah, like turning on.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then... They went out and found these radio towers that were super tall, and they had these guide wires, these huge, thick steel wires. And they would just go out there and hit it with a wrench. And it would make this crazy sound as it vibrated 100 feet in the air.
Dave, should you and I now do our best lightsaber...
Yes.
Lightsaber turning on noise?
Okay.
Yeah.
Specifically, Anakin Skywalker's saber turning on in A New Hope the first time in Ben Kenobi's canyon.
I don't want to do it anymore. I'll do the next one.
Well, and they all sound different.
Me, but it was so good.
They all sound different. You know, like Kylo Ren's has like that little car
firing
crackle. It's like boom.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Yeah.
Remember when Dave did it? It was so good.
Yeah, no, I mean...
resonated? Fuck. I go first.
Yeah, it's almost like he does this just to himself to see if he can.
Oh, no, wait. I got that wrong. The lights, that was the pew-pew-pew guns were the radio tower.
Oh, the stormtrooper blasters of the tower.
The lightsabers was a projector coming on that Ben Burtt, when he went, he was in college at USC, or like, he was very young when they made Star Wars. Not anymore, I guess. And it was like this film projector, and when it came on, it made that very specific synthesized whirring sound to make lightsabers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What else do you know about Star Wars trivia?
So I learned some things from the commentary track. Do you want to hear some fun
facts?
Quotes?
Neil Miller.
I like to do out of context commentary. There's a lot of Carrie Fisher that you can take out of context. Very funny.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, while Mark Hamill is acting through the trash compactor scene, she says, he was very committed to being strangled. She also said that when she took home the script and, went home and was hanging out with, Manuel Farrar, right?
Miguel Farrar.
The guy from Blank Check. Remember when we talked about Blank Check? And they read it out loud. They read the script for Star Wars out loud. And they both decided they wanted to play Han Solo at the end.
Aww.
So, yeah. She didn't want to be an actor, but she did want to be Han Solo. I'm trying to think of of another good one.
Did you guys know that the Dianoga in the trash compactor is force sensitive?
Shh.
Its name is Omi. Sorry, Neil. You obviously were on a roll.
Is that
why
canon?
It grabs Luke?
Is that canon?
Yes.
It totally is.
Can that... What?
He's force sensitive.
What does he do that indicate... Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Her.
What
does...
Thank you.
What does she do that is...
Oh, there is more than one female character in the original trilogy.
So when she is pulled out of her native habitat... She gets a glimpse of out the door of a starcraft as she's being driven to the planet that was never alive, which is what she calls the Death Star. And while trapped in its sewers, realizes that she could reach out and feel the Force. And so she refers to pulling Luke underwater as his baptism.
I love this.
Yeah.
This is great.
This is, once again, in a certain point of view, book of short stories.
This feels like
I should get it from my local library,
It really feels like a good plug.
This feels like an eventual Pixar short, where it's like, what's the monster inside the Death Star? Don't you want to love the monster?
Super Force-sensitive.
Okay, so you know the cantina scene?
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
And there's music, obviously, going on. There's also this mumbling in the background. It's sort of a murmur of just generic people talking.
Peace and carrots.
The way they accomplished that was Ben Burtt got a bunch of the editors from the film and got them into a room, and they all sucked down a bunch of helium, and then they just took it and, like, sort of dulled it. So it's just people talking with their voices on helium in the background of the cantina scene.
Be on the lookout for that next time. are there any Star Wars sounds that you can make really well? I heard you do one backstage.
Oh, the Chewbacca one?
Mm-hmm.
Like a...
Oh.
It's pretty good. That's like an alarm Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And you get more like a...
Oh. He's sad.
He's sad because he misses his family.
Right, exactly.
Even though it's his own damn fault.
Yeah. He's going to get back there eventually.
He gave up a life debt for some mud.
Yeah, and so Han, like, stole Lando's girlfriend and took Chewie away from his family forever.
And Lumpy's... Wait, was Lumpy the child or the grandfather?
The child.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, the grandmother is not canon anymore.
Oh.
You can't pick this. What kind of Back to the Future erasing a family photo nonsense is this? You can't just, like, delete some members and keep Lumpy.
You got a wife and got a child, but the extended family did not make it through
Yikes.
The canon.
Yikes.
Okay.
Hey there, guys. Joanna here, cutting into our live show to bring you our usual shout-out to our Small Council Patreon subscribers. These are the pals that help us keep this whole thing running, and we just want to give them a shout-out. And a lot of folks on this list were there at our live show supporting us in person. So we want to thank Lauren Bree, Christopher Bates, Steph Deal, Aubrey Iyer, Miranda Mooney, Elise Abschitz, Josh Brown, Victoria Stout, Kathy Schaberg, Lindsay Romaine, Grace Brown, A. Will, Ellen Rabin, Katie Truchon, Liz Roller, Rosie O, Billy Bosky, James Cooper, Tracy, and John Lillystrom. Thank you guys so much.
And I would like to thank the following folks who also may or may not have been at our show, which is awesome. Callum Guy, Sean Tenjamin, Kitsune Lane? Yeah, okay. Samantha O'Leary, Monica Kay, Kevin Costello, Ian Spiegelblum, Patrick Kelly, Patrick McCracken, Angela Travis, C.A. Sachs, Kurt Klein, Vanessa Marshall, Corey Hilsey, Kelly Grady, Fanny Martin, Patrick Sullivan, Zachary Silverman, Grace Richardson, and Joshua Lane. Thanks, everybody.
And I have even more fantastic Small Council donators that also, some of them were at the live show. Here we go. Thank you, Bethany Townsend, Danielle, Justin Young, Tasia Pender, Daniel Baltema, Adam Wells, Luis Collins, Michael Filippini, Natalie Muskin Press, Brianne Polito, Tommy Fitzgerald, Michael Belitsky, Paul Tyrell, Dre, James Heath, Christopher McGrain, Sean Strigfield, Stephen Weathers, Warpstone, and Derek Bachman. Thank you guys so much. Now back to Boulder.
It's time to talk some Raylo.
Yeah, we're gonna do something that the original trilogy did not manage to do, which is have two women conversing. I believe.
Are we about to pass the Bechdel test?
Uh-huh.
This is fantastic.
Pew pew pew. We have a special guest, Lindsay Romaine, here.
Hello. I have a nice hoarse voice tonight, so it's a nice radio voice, right?
Lindsay writes for Nerdist.com. She's also the host of a podcast called Halo Raylo.
Sure.
She is my, like, number one resource for all things Rey and Kylo Ren, but also Carrie Fisher. So we thought it would be perfect to have you up here to chat. We're going to do this for all of our Star Wars episodes, as I get to have a little chat with Lindsay. And the main question, because we're all getting ready for Rise of Skywalker, right? So the main question is, if I'm going to rewatch the original trilogy, what am I looking at or for in the original trilogy that will, like, help me prepare for Rise of Skywalker? What kind of themes or moments do I need to be on the lookout for?
I think probably the biggest one for me, like, one of the biggest themes in all of Star Wars is redemption, or you might want to call it Ben-demption.
Ooh, Ben-demption.
If we're talking about Kylo Ren, yeah. Ben Solo. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think, like, kind of the arc that goes through in the original trilogy is something that we'll probably see mapped onto this, just my thoughts. I know a lot of people are personally against the redemption of Kylo Ren for various reasons. They kind of track certain real-world problems onto him and whatnot, but I consider him a pretty mythic character.
Yeah.
And I consider Star Wars a modern myth, including the original trilogy. So I definitely think Vader's story will be
retold
in some way. I don't think it will be,
like, beat for beat.
I don't
right.
think it will be beat for beat, yeah. But it seems like Kylo Ren's being set up for a pretty epic redemption story. He killed his father, which you have to do something very bad to be redeemed. So I feel like, yeah, I think that's definitely something that will be a big theme of this next movie. It seems pretty telegraphed in the marketing and whatnot also.
Yeah. So that puts Rey, obviously, in the Luke slot, and then Kylo in the Vader slot.
Yeah.
And Kylo, the fact that Kylo... Well, it's funny because when The Force Awakens came out, I remember one of the big criticisms of The Force Awakens was like, oh, it's just a beat-for-beat remake of A New Hope. Which maybe it is. I don't know. But the way in which this trilogy is tracking the original trilogy
right.
thematically, I think is... Yeah, it gives you some hints as to where the final installment might be going.
And I always consider it not so much like a redoing of the original trilogy, but sort of a subversion of the things that we see there. So it's definitely like familiar things, but through a different perspective. So a redemption story seen through the eyes of a woman who may or may not love the person that's being redeemed. You know, I think that's definitely something that we haven't seen before. And we also haven't seen a villain like this be redeemed and actually live, which would be interesting. Have to actually, like, atone for that. So, yeah, I think that's something that could happen.
So what you're hoping for is, like, a Kylo Ren redemption, and he lives
yes.
afterwards. See, okay. And what does Kylo... What does Ben Solo do? Is he a moisture farmer? What does he do after he is redeemed?
Yeah, I don't necessarily, like... I think sometimes when I tell people I, like, see Kylo Ren being redeemed back to Ben Solo... They're like, well, he can't just, like, be friends with everybody. He's, like, done some bad things. He's killed a lot of people. I see him having kind of a life of atonement, maybe, like, going back to Tatooine and living on the old farm or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, moisture farming seems like a real, yeah. like, gotta atone for my sins sort of job.
But he still gets to keep his force bond with Rey, so she checks in with
him. Oh, sure.
They
occasional?
FaceTime.
Yeah, right Skype now. Sessions.
Yeah.
But, like, mostly a lot of sand,
right.
which, as we know,
right.
is rough and gets everywhere.
She'll, like, bring him a sandwich from another planet.
And he's like, sandwich, don't want that. And then, like, blue milk.
Right.
Yeah, sounds like a bummer. All right. Then let's talk about the Carrie Fisher of it all. Obviously, third film in the trilogy, ninth and final Skywalker film, they had planned to use Carrie a lot more. They weren't able to because she passed away. J.J. Abrams has given a lot of interviews about the ways in which that they figured out how to put her into, and we've seen her in trailers. So Leia's there in some capacity. But once again, to like return to that thematically, I'm not asking you to tell me what you think exactly their original plans for her were, but if we track Leia in the original trilogy and then think about like, what Han Solo did in The Force Awakens, what Luke did in The Last Jedi, what do you feel like Leia's role like should be or could have been in The Rise of Skywalker?
I always assumed before Carrie passed away that Ben's redemption would be through her, or it would have some sort of factoring into it, because, you know, his father's dead, can't forgive him, his uncle's dead, can't forgive him, but I think his mother, you know, could definitely be a part of that. I also always thought that maybe if you know, he lived after his redemption arc, that she would stay with him. So, you know, maybe they live on Tatooine together. She retires from you know, being a rebel, which is...
She has to moisture farm, too?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem fair.
She loves it. She loves the moisture farm. But no, I saw it that way just because Leia, you know, throughout the original trilogy and throughout all of the stuff that we've seen her in, has just been very dedicated to this rebellion throughout its various stages. I'm sure she's tired and just wants to be with her kids. So that's kind of what I always was hoping for.
Yeah.
Had she survived, obviously she won't. I think it'll look probably very different than that,
right.
Unfortunately. But
yeah. And then, like, what, you know, I know that you've read Carrie Fisher's biography, you've read a lot of her stuff. She's really, really important to you. Mm-hmm. What do you feel like her presence in the original trilogy, like, how did that make those films stand out in a way that others, maybe 70s adventures, did not stand the test of time?
Well, I think when you watch A New Hope especially, she immediately takes, like, no crap from these guys. And I think, you know, we see other women in these stories, but we don't immediately see them just like, I don't care about you, to the heroes. And I think that's just something, I know for me, it was, like, monumental. It was my first exposure to, like, seeing someone like that. And we know that Carrie was obviously very much like that herself. So I think George Lucas definitely saw that, like, spitfire in her. And I don't know if he worked it into the script, but it definitely, you know, she's said forever that she is Princess Leia. And her daughter just wrote that really beautiful article in Time where she said the same thing. She's like, my mom always just said, like, I am Princess Leia. She is me. No one else can play her. And I think, you know, we see that obviously from the very beginning. So,
and not to make this like an evening of Joanna Knox the film Solo, but like that's I think what a lot of us found really troublesome about the end of Solo, when you get this like CG Leia and you're like, oh,
that's,
you know, oh sorry, Rogue One. Sorry, Joanna also knocks on Rogue One. The end of Rogue One, you see CG Leia and you're like, but Carrie Fisher was so special to what these movies were. So yeah,
well, that's what I'm relieved that they didn't recast her and that they said that they're not doing a CGI recreation. I'm a little bit nervous to see how it works out in this one. I don't think it'll be totally un-CGI, just because, you know, we've even seen in the trailers that her costumes are kind of, you know, enhanced or whatnot, but I'm glad that her physical presence will be in there in some form.
One last question before your voice gives out. Thank you so much for coming up here with your rough voice. We saw in the Empire Strikes Back trailer that played before the show started, one of the lines that we were laughing about last night was Harrison Ford goes, epic romance. We were like, okay. But romance is a big strain of, like, all of these movies, and we will definitely talk about it when we get to the prequels. But, like, in the original trilogy, this idea of romance, you know, this love triangle is such a driving, and then it's not a triangle anymore when you find out the twist, but is driving so much of this movie, and you care so much about that. I'm curious, why do you think that people are resistant to people trying to put romance into the current trilogy that we're talking about, the Reylo trilogy, as we like to call it?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I've met, you know, just having to write about it a lot. You know, people kind of consider the romance angle very frivolous. They consider it a girl thing. And, you know, I always, it's disappointing because there's so many different ways that you can come into a fandom based on your interests. You know, for some people, they know all of the spaceships, and some people know all the aliens, and some people are really attracted to the fights and whatever, and a lot of people are attracted to romance in their stories, and so I don't think that should be invalidated in any way. And one of the great things, I know we're talking about the original trilogy, but one of the great things about the sequel trilogy is that I've seen so many more female fans become a part of it, not just because there's a female lead, but because there is this sort of, you know, whether or not it becomes canonized romance, there's this kind of, that's their way of, like, rediscovering this world or discovering it for the first time. So I think romance, it opens the doors for even more people to come into this thing that I think people considered such a boys club type of thing for a long time. So,
all right. So before you go, you are one of my favorite people to read of all time on Star Wars. Your Twitter feed is like she's just constantly rewatching The Last Jedi and then tweeting about it. And every time she's like, so then the gist of Campbellian mythology of then you're like, what? And she's like, actually this represents the mother. And you're like, what? So, if you want to peel back every single layer of that movie and all the Star Wars movies, Lindsay, where can people find your work on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Lindsay Romaine, if you so care. And you can find all my work on Nerdist.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to my new favorite segment of this podcast, which is Kristen Russo tells Joanna Robinson everything she knows about Star Wars without having actually seen a Star Wars. I'm Joanna Robinson, and that laughter on the other end of the line is Kristen Russo. Hello, Kristen.
Oh my gosh. Hi, Joanna. I'm so excited to be back for probably the Star Wars that if I were going to know anything, I should probably know the most about these Star Wars,
yes,
right?
Yes. One more thing. So if you did not listen to our episode last week about the prequel trilogy, I will give you a little quick background, which is that, you know, a couple months ago, on a whim, with a lot of tequila inside of us, I asked Kristen to tell me everything that she knew about Star Wars, the original trilogy, without having first seen it. It was one of my favorite things that's ever happened in my life. I had such a good time. I wasn't sure if, like, everyone would enjoy it as much as I did. but we've gotten such incredible feedback from the segment last week. So good news is, it's not just me. This is actually a very fun thing to do. And also, we have since found out, Kristen Russo, that you have never seen a single Lord of the Rings film. So I feel like we should maybe do this again in the future with a Lord of the Rings. Anyway, but we're here to talk.
I agree. I'm so glad that my lack of knowledge about these very important films is finally coming in handy, you know?
Your cultural ignorance is paying off for comedy. So we have already done, you know, full disclosure, Chris and I have already done this about the original trilogy, which is what we are here to talk about today. But I think there's still plenty that Kristen doesn't know and maybe does not remember from that evening. So, by the end, we're hoping that Kristen will be an expert in these films that she's never seen. but right now we're still in, clear novice territory. So Kristen Russo, why don't you tell me everything you know about the original trilogy? Starting with, do you know the names of the three movies that comprise the original trilogy?
I know that one of them is called Return of the Jedi.
That's correct.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so Star Wars, that's the only one I know. Star Wars, The Next Generation. Star Wars, I don't know. I only know Return of the Jedi. And I was thinking about it today because I've been trying to use some of the facts that I gleaned from our first conversation.
Yes.
About the early 2000 trilogy to, like, draw some lines and figure out if I know anything. And I realize that I think that Luke is a Jedi, right? Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So then I was like, cause then that's what made me remember the title to one of them. Is it the second one? That's Return of the Jedi.
It's the third one. The last
the
one.
Third
of
the third one. The Jedi does not return. Is the third one where Luke finds out that Darth Vader is his father?
No, and this is something that I didn't have to tell you. You just absorbed this from general pop culture that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father, right? This is sort of why we started this experiment in the first place. Is I was like, surely you have lived on this planet many years, like surely you have absorbed some things about Star Wars, and that's what I wanted to know about the first time we talked about this. So you already knew that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father. He finds out at the in the second film, towards the end of the second film.
And Darth Vader is it also a Jedi but a bad Jedi? Is that right?
I mean, he bad Jedi's quote unquote are known as Sith. So he,
Yes.
So he used to be a Jedi, and now he's a Sith. Yes,
he's a fallen Sith.
Uh huh.
Great. Also, I know that this is about me and my lack of knowledge, but I want to let you know that right now I'm talking to you from vacation with my parents. And so I asked them this morning about Star Wars, if they had seen it, you know, this trilogy.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, neither my mother or my
father
has seen these movies either. I know. And so I was like, do either of you know anything about it? And my mom was like, I know there's a character named Yoda. So just so you know, this is a family affair here. My mom knew there was a character who she thought was called Yoda, and she said it probably takes place in outer space. So it's not even my fault.
This is a genetic affliction passed down through the generations. All right. So what is the main thing you know about Luke Skywalker other than that he's a Jedi?
He is a moisture farmer. He would be so excited to be in California right now because it's been raining for days. He would just be like sitting back. He wouldn't have to do any work. He could just put out
his moisture traps would just be like overflowing with moisture.
Yeah, does he really have something called a moisture trap?
I doubt it. I think it's called like a filter. It might be called a trap. I know that they say what it's called in the first one. His uncle's like, you promised me you would help me change the moisture traps or something like that. Anyway.
So Luke is just like Luke, the movie opens and Luke is just like thinking he's a regular old moisture farmer, just a regular old dude, just like everybody else, just farming moisture.
Right.
Part of the working class. And then he uncovers that kind of like Harry Potter, he is a wizard, but he's not a wizard. He's a Jedi. Is this like part of the plot line?
Right. And Obi-Wan is basically like, you're a Jedi, Harry, except like not really. But he's like, yeah, you're your father trying to be a Jedi. You've got the Force in you. I can help you. So he meets Obi-Wan Kenobi, who's like a...
So Obi-Wan is the Hagrid of this series.
He's like the Hagrid / Dumbledore. You know what I mean? He's like...
Both. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I would have thought that Yoda was the Dumbledore based on nothing except for that Yoda is old and wise.
Yoda is also sort of the, like, he's like the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, maybe. You know, he's the one who, like, actually gives Harry some, like, you know, Luke some techniques he can use. He doesn't get a ton of training, our Luke, to be honest with you. The Force is very strong with him because his father was a very powerful Jedi once upon a time. So this is a sort of genetic thing. What else do you know about Luke Skywalker's family?
Well, I know that his mom is Natalie Portman.
Correct.
And, I think that's all I know about his family, actually. And he has uncles that are also moisture farmers, but I just gathered that from today.
And that's it? He doesn't have anyone else in his family?
Like siblings or anything?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Well, is Princess Leia his sister?
Princess Leia is his sister.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't remember if Princess Leia was his girlfriend or his sister, and I felt like there was some weirdness, maybe,
I have a fun fact for you, kind of both. Like, so who's the other main character of Star Wars?
Besides Princess Leia and
Luke Skywalker. Yeah.
Han Solo.
Correct. So we've got Luke Skywalker, who's like the earnest moisture farmer boy, right? You've got Han Solo, who's like the rakish scoundrel, right? But like for the good side. And then you've got our heroine, Princess Leia, who's like sassy and scrappy, and we like her. So there is, of course, in the first film and like first film and a half, like a love triangle between the three, where Princess Leia, like, you know, is really attractive to the scoundrel, but she's like, I'm going to make you kind of jealous by giving some attention to Luke. We find out later that they're siblings, which I'm pretty sure was not the original plan. So like, we're all pretty sure that originally George Lucas did not write these two to be siblings. Cause like, she definitely smooches Luke.
See, I knew there was something going on that made me hesitate to say that they were siblings. And probably that's why I know that they're siblings, is because probably I saw something about that at the time.
Some Lannister joke, I'm sure you saw about Luke and Leia.
So was Leia, well, I guess if we didn't know that Leia was Luke's sister till later, we didn't find out about any history she has with moisture farming.
She is zero. She was raised, so basically get this. Anakin Skywalker falls. He's evil now. Natalie Portman dies in childbirth, like a lot of ladies in genre fiction do. So she dies in childbirth. So there are these twins, Luke and Leia. And
they're twins.
Oh, they're twins. Yeah, buddy. They're twins.
Wow.
So we got these twins, Luke and Leia, but like Darth Vader can't know about his kids because, like, who knows what he would do? Would he kill them? Would he try to make them, like, his little evil disciples? So the good guys, including Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda, Yodo, as your mom calls him, decide to hide the twins. Leia gets a cushy gig on Alderaan as as a princess. She's, like, she's raised by a well-to-do political family. And then Luke gets shoved off to Tatooine to be a moisture farmer can I just explain to you the actual concealment plan?
Yes, and also I want to say that, like, as much as I'm bummed out for Luke, it is nice that for once, out of a set of a boy and a girl, the girl got sent off to someplace wonderful, and the boy had to do some manual labor. You know, like that's true. Not bad.
It's a fact. It's feminist as fuck. Luke. Okay, here's Yoda's and Obi-Wan's great plan to hide Luke Skywalker from his father, Anakin Skywalker. First of all, they send him back to Tatooine, which is where Anakin grew up. They have him live with his Uncle Owen and his Aunt Beru, who are literally, like, Uncle Owen is Anakin Skywalker's, like, stepbrother, so not his, like, blood brother, but, like, he met him. He knows who he is. Oh. So, like, they sent Luke to live with Owen and Beru on Tatooine, and he has the name Skywalker, I think. I mean, there's no reason why he should, but he does. He's Luke Skywalker from the jump. So I'm like, you hid him and gave him his father's last name and sent him to live with relatives on his home planet. You could have sent him anywhere in the galaxy.
Literally anywhere.
Yeah. They sent him home. Yeah.
I thought Yoda was supposed to be smart.
But guess what? Darth does not find him until Luke, like, starts going on missions that bring him close to Darth, and then all of a sudden Darth senses him because of all that Force stuff we talked about in the prequels. Yeah. So we've got Leia, a princess and a twin.
Yes.
We've got Luke, a Jedi in training, and then a Jedi and a twin. We've got Han Solo. Who else do we have in the original trilogy?
Well, I know that R2-D2 is around, and I know from our last conversation that R2-D2 would have known about all of this. Probably would have also known that Luke and Leia shouldn't kiss, but somebody wiped his memory.
No. They wiped – very close, but they wiped C-3PO's memory.
Oh, see, I got you to say C-3PO for me.
So you didn't have to say it. Very tricky. So they wiped his memory, but they did not wipe R2-D2's memory, which is why my beloved co-host on this podcast, Dave Gonzalez, likes to refer to R2-D2 as, like, that withholding jerk or withholding asshole or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, like, R2 knows everything, doesn't share it. It happens again later in the, like, later trilogy. R2 knows stuff and doesn't share it. And you're like, what the hell, R2?
Does R2 have, like, a philosophy that that he shouldn't be getting involved in the affairs of others? Like, does he feel like his duty is simply to do whatever he, like, I don't even know why he exists, but like perhaps.
He's a Zen Buddhist observer of all things around him. I mean, maybe, but I have to tell you that R2 only communicates in a series of boops and bleeps, and so if he does have a complicated philosophy, I don't know it.
Wait, does C-3PO talk with words?
He does, and he speaks R2's bloop bleep language. Actually, a lot of the human characters speak R2's bleep bloop language, so R2 will be bleep bleep bloop bloop bloop.
So maybe C-3PO is the one that is withholding. Maybe R2 has been trying this whole time to bleep and bloop all the information, and C-3PO is not conveying the true message.
No, here's the true fact about C-3PO. He's this very, like, fussy British robot, right? And, like, what's true about C-3PO is over and over again, people do not tell him what the real plan is because, and, like, kind of for good reason, because he's, like, he's so fussy and finicky and just, like, not really to be trusted with the real plan. So.
Okay.
We keep him in the dark. All right. Who else is in the original trilogy?
Well, there's definitely Ewoks and Chewie. Those are things I know. And correct. I don't think that the Ewoks and Chewie are related in any way, shape, or form, except for I imagine them both being furry.
If you had to guess which one is taller, Ewoks or Chewie?
No, definitely Chewie. Okay. Chewie. No, I know Chewie is huge.
Yes.
Chewie's, like, real big and hairy.
Yes.
And has a face.
Yes.
I mean, I guess they all have faces. But Ewoks... Ewoks, I picture, like, gremlins. Like, in my mind, there's absolutely no distinction between what an Ewok looks like and what a gremlin looks like, or what a Furby looks like. They actually all look the same to me.
Yeah. I mean, Ewoks are a little taller. They're a little, like, they are teddy bear looking, but they're, you know, like, I think four feet tall, 3.5 feet tall, something like that. They're like,
oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They're right. bigger than I thought they were. And then there's I think that there are like big machines that walk in the sand, like you know, like robot machines. Or there maybe those are the spaceships.
No, there are big machines that walk, but you only see them walk in snow, and you see them walk in the jungle or like the forest, but I don't think you see them walk on sand. They're called Imperial Walkers.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Or AT-AT or ATST. They've got a couple different. Everything has like a technical name and a not. Anyway. Walker.
Yeah,
things,
no, I don't know about
that. Big robot things that walk in the sand. I'm giving you full credit for that. Absolutely. Great, 100% great, credit great. For that. Okay.
Okay. So, and then, okay. So we got, that's most of what I know, I think.
Is there like a, yeah, is there like a, happened. Like a weapon we should be worried about in Star Wars?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know about the lightsabers. Definitely the lightsabers. Yeah.
I'm thinking of
my
like
mom
a,
knew
yeah.
about the lightsabers too. Ooh. So you know. Yeah. She didn't know they were called that. She called them big swords.
Okay.
She knew what she meant. Okay. Another weapon. That's
wait.
Lightsaber.
Do you know what sound lightsabers make?
Yeah. I think they're like, wow.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah. Right? Uh-huh. Do you know that's pretty good. It's like, do you know what sound, Chewie makes?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Cookie Monster, but without, like maybe like a Cookie Monster kind of voice. Sorry.
Well, Cookie Monster speaks English. She's like, me want cookie, right? So like.
Yeah, but I mean his pitch. Does Chewie not speak English?
No, he just, you know, R2 is like bleeps and bloops, and then Chewie is like roars and like occasional like whimpers.
Are they like high-pitched gurgly roars?
Yeah, high-pitched gurgly roars.
Okay.
I think you get full credit for that. Okay, a large weapon that we might be worried about.
And it's not the Force, and it's not a lightsaber.
No.
No, I don't know. I don't.
If I
don't
said
know about a large weapon,
if I said the words "death" and "star" together, Death Star.
Oh yeah, that's the Death Star. That's a weapon.
Yes.
I thought that the Death Star. Honestly, I thought the Death Star was a place, and I think that if you'd asked me, I would have said it's probably where Darth Vader lives on the Death Star.
I mean,
I thought that they were associated with each other.
I think Darth Vader definitely like bunks down on the Death Star occasionally. It's like a It's like a moon shaped ship. It's a giant moon or planet sized ship that beams like a large blast of, you know, destroying energy. It can blow up planets. It can zoom around the galaxy and blow up planets. It's a
who made it?
The bad guys.
The Siths?
Well, the Siths, but like the Empire. The Empire is the Emperor.
Oh, the Empire Strikes Back. That's
nailed
that's
it. That's number two. Got it. Number two. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
So Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. We got Ewoks, we got Wookiees, we got the bots, we got the trio of telegenic people. Oh, there's a really cool dude we haven't talked about yet either. He shows up in the second film. He wears capes, and he's very cool. Does this ring any bells for you?
No bells whatsoever. I no. I pictured, what's that guy's name from The Princess Bride? That wears a cape. Doesn't he?
Humperdinck?
No, I'm not even gonna go here. I don't want to cover too much of what I don't know about The Princess Bride.
Okay.
I've seen it.
Lando Calrissian. Does that ring any bells to you, Lando?
Oh my god, none.
Okay.
No.
Never heard.
I pictured Landry when you said Lando. So Landry.
He doesn't look anything like Landry, I promise you. Okay. So we got Lando, we got Han, we got Leia, we got Luke, we got Chewie, we got R2, we got C-3PO, we've got Darth Vader, we've got the Emperor. Okay, I'm gonna ask you a question. If I were to tell you that there is a character in Star Wars that most fans know the name of, and if I told you, I'm going to give you, this is a multiple choice.
Okay.
Does he have the head of a tiger, an elephant, or an octopus squid?
What?
A tiger, B elephant, C octopus squid.
Elephant.
No, it is an octopus squid sort of situation.
What? There's a character that has an octopus squid for a head?
Pretty much. I'll send you a photo later. I think that's an accurate thing to say. I don't think I've misled you in any way about that. His name's Admiral Akbar. Okay. All right. So we have snow. Okay. Oh, yeah. Now is the time on the segment where I ask you, Kristen, how many famous Star Wars quotes can you give me? It's okay if they're not from the original trilogy, but I bet they will all be from the original trilogy if you know any at all.
Okay, so, well, I know something actually from Twitter recently, which is that I thought that quote was, Luke, I am your father, but he actually just says, I am your father or something, and he doesn't say Luke. Is that right?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think that's a misquoted line. And then it goes, no! That's what Luke goes. Luke goes, no! All right.
Okay, more famous lines from Star Wars. Let's see. May the Force be with you.
Nailed it.
I know that Princess Leia dances in a gold bikini. That's not a famous line.
She doesn't really dance. She's like taken prisoner in the third movie and forced to wear this outfit.
Right. It's not good, right?
It's a gold bikini. It's not great. But she does, the guy who kidnaps her or like holds her prisoner, his name Jabba the Hutt. Does that ring a bell to you? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Jabba the Hutt. We talked about him last time. He looked like, Spaceballs? Is there like a big?
Oh yeah, Pizza the Hut. Yeah.
And he's more. I think that's who I was kind of picturing when I pictured Jabba, but they don't look really anything alike.
Well, yeah, I mean they're kind of like gross and slimy. Jabba's like a big sort of like slug-like creature, and
he's got more of a head.
Yeah, less of the like fewer pepperonis on him. Leia's held captive via a chain that's attached to him, and then she or attached to something near him, and later when she escapes she chokes him out with the chain. So that's a cool thing that Leia does. Leia's really cool.
Jabba the Hutt is bad then. Jabba the Hutt
is
bad.
A bad guy. Yeah, he's a bad guy.
He's bad. I don't think I know any other. May the Force be with you, Luke. I'm your father. I don't know that I. Oh, and then probably there's like a Yoda thing that I know that because Yoda talks. My sister actually remembered this, and that Yoda talks like backwards.
Yeah,
like he says like half the sentence first and then the other.
Correct. Second. So okay, so if you're Yoda, and yeah, and you're talking to Luke, who's like a whiny little moisture farmer, and Luke is like, oh, I don't know. I'll try to do it. If you're Yoda, what do you say in response to that?
Do it, you will.
Oh, that's like pretty close. He says, "He says, do or do not. There is no try." I think that's the most famous. Yoda.
I didn't know it.
All right. Well, I mean, I think we did it. Like Luke goes from like, you know, innocent moisture farm boy to badass Jedi. He kisses his sister and then discovers she's his sister. He fights his father, then decides he's his father, or finds out he's his father. What do you think happens to Darth Vader in the end?
His mask is pulled off and then he shrinks and dies. No? I think you told me at some point that he didn't have like much of a head, and that's why he was.
Well, they take the mask off, and then he's got like this weird swollen Humpty Dumpty head. I will also send you a photo of this. We always called him Humpty in my household growing up. We always called him Humpty Dumpty because like he's voiced by James Earl Jones. So you're like, who is this badass black dude? And then you pull off the helmet, and then it's just like a big pasty white blob of a head. I'll send you a photo of both that and the squid head. So, what happens basically is the Emperor wants to, kill Luke. The Emperor, who's like the main bad guy, wants to kill Luke. And then Darth, even though he's been evil this whole time, is like, wait, actually, that's my son. And he's like, no. And he kills the Emperor. And then Luke tries to like save him, but he's already been like injured beyond repair and he dies. But like, he's been redeemed because he saved Luke.
Okay, that makes sense to me, because I feel like I knew that, like, Darth Vader was the bad guy, but then maybe not the bad guy. So that's probably where that came from. One question I had is just, because I was thinking about the fact that, like, there's all these different characters, like, types, like, of species, right? There's, like, Ewoks, and there's robots, and there's Chewie, and there's whatever.
Yeah.
And they seem to all be on, like, Luke's side. So is the deal that, like, I think that the deal is, like, the Emperor wants everything to be controlled by, like, one race or whatever you call it in the universe. And so is it that, like, Luke is sort of, like, bringing together all of the other scattered planets to fight against the Emperor?
There's, like, this Rebel Alliance is what it's called. Yeah. And it's, like, all these people who do not believe in the Empire's rule. I don't know that the Empire is, like, necessarily, like, overtly white supremacist, but... all the bad guys who work for the Emperor, well, the main fighting forces are called Stormtroopers, and they dress in this white armor, right? And it's supposed to be like a World War II, like Hitler, Nazism sort analogy there. So yeah, so Luke and a bunch of, you know, like all the rebels are, yes, multi-species, and the Empire is pretty much entirely humanoid. I think that's true. I don't think you ever see anyone there, and they're all like British, like all the bad guys in Star Wars are British, and almost all the good guys, except Obi-Wan's British, but almost all the rest of the good guys are American. So that's just, a thing that's true of Star Wars. Okay. I think we did it. Do you have any other questions about Star Wars?
No. Well, something that I realized that I didn't know is, especially when you're talking about British and American, and also like time. Like, is this, you know how Game of Thrones, Joanna, do you know how Game of Thrones is like, it's like not in, it's not in our linear time, and it's not in our universe.
Yeah.
You know, like, is Star Wars in a time period that we would understand, or does it have any ties to like our lived reality, or is it a totally fantastical thing in a totally different time, you know?
Measurement. Another fun thing to know about Star Wars is every movie in Star Wars, at least every movie in the Skywalker saga, which is these 9 films that they're making, starts with this opening, what's called an opening crawl, which is this like text that goes across the screen in yellow font. Yeah. And at the beginning, it says a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. That's the setting of this. So a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So no real, it's not like Planet of the Apes where they're like, oh my God, the Statue of Liberty. It was Earth all along. Or something like that. It's like, as far as we know, has no connection with our reality. So I say British and American, I just mean like by our standards.
Their accents.
But that's why I say like humanoid, because like, yeah, they look like humans, but we don't have a context for like what human is, I think, in that galaxy. So
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
All right. I think we did it. One last thing before you go.
Also, I have a last thing that just occurred to me, which is what if all this was happening in a galaxy far, far away a long time ago, there's one movie left. What if that movie is where the two worlds combine and then we find out that,
love it. Okay, like two humanoid people from like an Adam and Eve from the current trilogy that's running escape in a pod and go off and like populate Earth. They start.
Yep.
It's like the end of Battlestar Galactica. Spoiler for the end of Battlestar Galactica.
Cool. Oh, is that how Battlestar Galactica?
Kind of. Surprisingly so, yes. All right. So my last thing. Can you, Kristen Russo, hum for me any piece of music from Star Wars?
Oh, I should be able to. But all right now I can think of is the Final Countdown.
What if I start something for you? Do you want to try to finish it? Okay. Yeah. What about like ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba
and with that musical interlude, Kristen Russo, where can people find your non-Star Wars work on the internet?
Oh, you can find me at Kristen Nolene. That's my website and also all of my social media handles. And also Joanna and I do a podcast about my so-called life called The Boiler Room. And I do a podcast with Jenny Owen Youngs about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I know a lot more about Buffy the Vampire Slayer and my so-called life than I know about Star Wars. And that's called, yeah, Buffering the Vampire Slayer, and Buffering Cast is our socials for that.
Excellent. My name is Joanna Robinson. You already know that. You know where to find me. We will have Kristen back for the final trilogy conversation. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll make Kristen watch Star Wars and then we can talk about what she learned and how she feels about it. Yeah. Maybe Kristen, with your family, you want to watch a Star Wars tonight for the holidays, because...
I'll try to convince my mom. My mom is a hard sell.
Your whole family needs some information. Yeah, all right. I will see you next time, Kristen.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I know. So for the podcast listeners, let's pretend like Dave's doing a James Brown. Oh, he's coming out. Oh, it's too much Star Wars. He looks tired. He's all sweaty. Oh, someone bring him his cape. Someone bring him his cape. He's down on one knee. He's down on his... Wow, Star Wars! Oh, he's back up! More Star Wars! People have seen live James Brown, right? All right, thank you. That happened. If you're just listening at home, I did that all physically.
But I feel like you needed a cape from Lando's cape closet to make it work.
Yeah.
James Brown always had
a cape.
We would go and like put the cape on you. That's what you would do.
Yeah, next live show, I'll do a full James Brown Star Wars.
Great stuff.
Coming out. All right, really quick for the audio audience, where can people find more of your work online? But while we keep talking about Star Wars, let's start with Neil Miller.
Well, you know, I'm over at thefilmschoolrejects.com. I'm also on the Twitter, at Rejects. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
And Ms. Joanna Robinson.
You can find me on Twitter at Joe Wrote This. You can find me on VanityFair.com. You can find me talking about the TV show My So-Called Life on the Boiler Room Cast. Yeah. You can find me talking about award season on Little Gold Men podcast. And you can find me talking about The Mandalorian on the Still Watching podcast.
I think you need to add some more podcasts.
I'm pretty bored.
I'm Dave Gonzalez. You can find me on Twitter at DSM&E. I'm also on the Fighting in the War Room podcast about pop culture and covering The Mandalorian for Thrillist.com. And even though I have fallen down this year, I need to keep encouraging all of you to not fall down. Staying upright is very important for your health.